What event was it? What made you say that you? Do you have any idea what made you say you
meet
him?
Well, because I was always interested in religious. And so
you decided that you wanted to meet him.
And I wanted to meet him. I always was convinced there was a supreme being. There was something bigger than any of us. And I wasn't old. Any of us had an idea of. And I was always searching for that. And also the occult, which I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
So 20 years after that,
mm-hmm.
here on the center, she met him.
Yeah.
What was the... There certainly must have been some interim...
oh, a great deal, really.
Yes, with Mercier.
But to get to that particular day, it was a very hot day. It was an offshore breeze, and not the ocean breeze, but the offshore breeze, and it was really hot. And we were all dressed in our Sunday best. I guess in a way, we realized, of course, Bob Mercer told us, Mercer Deuce told us that we were, she said, put your marbles away, we're going to Myrtle Beach soon and meet a real master. So fine. That was fine with us. We knew of Baba, we knew
what to expect. We knew he was coming, but we didn't know when. And it was quite a crowd. It was about 3 or 4 cars full of us. And we stopped at a place in North Carolina, going down anyhow. And then we went on over to here. We had to be here and at Mercer's at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
What we got there? And there was the old original standby crowd there. I had met a lot of them in New York because I just was up in New York a great deal of business, and I always tried to make that loop over with when Mercer was having a group. And I got to know some of them in the different countries that would come up there.
So we were brought to the entrance of the barn, the end that we normally go in. We were all, as I say, I had a tie on and it was very uncomfortable. And I don't remember how many people had been called in to the barn before Peggy and myself. I wasn't paying that much attention. I would guess, just offhand, I would guess at that session that we met Bob in, I would think there were probably a few dozen people at the most.
Because it was selected that was to go down. But there was a couple of farmers with their boots on there.
That was 56.
Was that in 56?
The barber brought the field hands in.
Yeah. And they had their boots on way up to here, the black farmers. And one of the boys went down trying to find the piano.
Oh, let's not get into all that.
That is killing. Let me say this much. When he was told to go down south part of the town, and go down the basement, and here was this black club, jazz club, like that. And he did. And he went down, and they introduced him to the man, this band leader. And he said, "Well, what can I do for you?" He said, "I'm trying to borrow a piano for
some instruments. They
some
wanted
instruments, yes.
More than them."
And we thought he'd never get any instruments. People won't part with the instruments, like toothbrush. Well, anyhow, they asked him, who was he going to play for? And he said, God. And they said, who? He said, yes, if you want a meeting, you come on up to such a place, and I'll introduce you to him.
Yeah.
And he did. So here we are in the barn with the blacks and everything, and one black boy from New York, he played the piano. What was it, the piano he played that time?
That was the time that they put the men put the play on for Bob and
the Alexander Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The skate. There was supposed to be skating.
And we gave Bob a little tin alligator. It's about this high, and it had a rubber, little tin rubber tubing with a ball on the end of it.
Oh, right. When you squeeze it.
And you squeeze the ball, and he'd beat the drum.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
So you've probably seen those.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Baba would hold that in his hand, and he'd just take like this. we almost thought we could hear him laugh, you know. He was just so delighted with that. Baba had a way of showing that kind of joy, that kind of delight, like with the exuberance of a child, but no silliness, you know, just, and when he would smile or be happy about something and show it, you know, the toss of his head or whatever, his eyes would twinkle, he would just show so much happiness, and it would just be so, it would just get everybody that was within sight would feel that way, you know, you just couldn't resist his moods. Mm. When he felt, or when he appeared to be extremely, you know, serious and working, and like one time he told to look, you know, to be absolutely silent and not move and look into his eyes. That was over by the old kitchen. I don't know, no one could ever describe how they felt during that short period, you know. But it was, I guess to us then, it was something like a child, a little child, when the mother or father is happy and laughing about something, the child just starts to laugh without knowing why. It just picks up that mood, you know. And we were all like that with Babu. And there again, it was nothing that we were aware of. The relationship that we had with Baba here was so unique. I don't mean to say we were important. I'm just saying it was a relationship like we had never known with anyone else before. And we would follow him all over the center, wherever he would go, and try to get close, you know, I'd try to get ahead of you so I could be closer to him than you were, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Even, there was never any arguments or any hard feelings, but there was that sense of rivalry. You just couldn't resist wanting to be closer to him. Mm. You couldn't help yourself. As I told you a while ago, we used to stand at the top of that brick staircase over that comes up from the boathouse up to the old dining room. Mm-hmm. We'd stand there in the mornings when he would be, and he would come across the lagoon bridge and up those steps. And it was just a hushed expectancy, just as though, well, okay, maybe the sun's come up, but nothing's really happened yet. And then he would come up those steps, and it would be just, every morning you would just feel so happy to see him. It just made you so happy just to see him, you know. And you didn't think about it, you didn't know why, but it just seemed as though you had seen everything, you know. And I don't like to sound pretentious or anything, but it just made you so happy just to see him.
Well, it isn't a case of what you feel, it's the fact that you couldn't help me.
No, you couldn't.
And you had doctors there, and everybody there, and the shirt sleeves. And I look around and I think, well, good heavens, look at this. And everybody was a kid, that's all it was doing. They walked ahead of people, and one of the boys with us, he was behind Baba all day long walking through the woods, and his wife and I said, look at him. She said, yeah, he has no idea. So when we got back to the compound there, and he turned to her and he said, where have you been all day? I haven't seen you all day. I said, no, you didn't care where she was. I said, you had to get behind Baba all day. And that was a fact he did. It was so obvious. But then he said, where have you been? She could have killed him.
Well, that was actually in 56 and 58. Our meeting with Baba in 52 was very short and sweet. Well, we'll get back to that. Peggy had said to me on several occasions, if I could believe that I had helped one soul come to God, I would be the happiest woman in the world. And the morning that we waited to meet Baba, I don't know, but this was apparently in her mind very much, and she mentioned it again to me. She said, if Baba would tell me that I had brought one soul to him, I would be satisfied, that I'd be happy. That's all I'd need to know. Well, they called Peggy in first. I watched her go up the steps and then through the screen door, and I for the first time, I began to wonder what was going on in there. You know, it's the strangest thing. We didn't stand around and think about, we're going in to meet God now, you know, mm-hmm. or what's going to happen or anything. We just stood around and chatted, very relaxed, nothing, no big deal. So when Peggy got over to Bob and embraced him, he gestured, and Adi interpreted the gestures, and the first thing was, you have brought many souls to me. And Clerk Peggy immediately started tearing, and because she was so happy to know that he knew and he verified that something that would make her that happy. So I don't know what else Baba told her, but that was the kingpin. That was the real thing for Peggy to know this. And I suppose Baba, in his infinite compassionate love, wanted to relieve her mind that this was true, that she had been helpful. And of course, this just was all she needed to know at that point. Well, there were other people in the room, in the barn. Mercer was there, Audie, I don't know who else, because as I told you earlier, I didn't see anybody else but Baba, really. I sensed that, I knew that there were other people in there, because Ella was at the front door, and her husband was at the back door. So we'd go in the front, and Ella would call our name and open, you know, we'd open the door. And then Fred was at the back door, and we'd go out that way. So they called my name, and I went in, and I didn't see anybody but Baba. And he was sitting in the chair where his chair is now in the barn, or very close to there. And I always say I ran to him. And every time I say it, it seems kind of silly because it's not too much of a distance. I don't suppose you could really run that short a distance. But I know I hurried as quickly as I could. And I went directly to him, and I didn't think anything at all about who he is or anything. I just embraced him. I just threw my arms around him, and we just hugged each other. He put his arms around me, and I put my arms around him, and we just had a good, firm embrace. And I looked in his eyes, and I started to cry. And I know I didn't make any noise. I usually make a lot of noise when I cry, but I didn't. But I could feel my face getting wet, and I was thinking about getting his sadra wet. I was just tearing that much. I mean, tears were just flowing down my face. And I didn't feel unhappy about anything. I was just so happy I couldn't contain myself. And I felt such relief. And I always tell this little story. When I was a very small boy, I got quite a ways away from my home and got lost. And I realized it would be getting dark fairly soon. I must have been quite young, you know, not to know. And I finally found a Catholic church with a big lawn out in front of it and streetcar tracks going past it, and I knew then where I was, because we used to take the streetcar to go out to a park, and I knew then that I should go this way towards my neighborhood. And the relief, I felt so relieved that I started to cry. And that's the same sort of relief that I felt with Baba. I just felt, oh my God, everything. I'm not really lost. I guess that's what I thought. And then a very strange thing that I've never been able to understand, and I guess I never will be. And I can't describe it any other way. I've told it 100 times, but I saw, this is hard to talk about because it sounds weird. I saw a human form, and it looked like, and I knew it was a human form, and it looked like it was, you've seen a wasp's nest, haven't you? With that kind of, it looks as though if you put your finger in it, it would just go like that. Yeah. You know, it was so fragile, so delicate and fragile. Well, this human form, and I couldn't tell, and I didn't see any details. I just knew it was a human form, but I didn't see any details. But I couldn't tell whether it was male or female, but I knew it was some person that was very, very, very old. You know, you've seen old people, I'm sure they were so old you couldn't tell whether they were man or woman. But this was beyond that. And it was as though that form was wrapped in that cocoon, sort of like, I mean, it had the appearance of that. And I wanted to say to that person or whatever, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. Whatever happens, I wanted to convey that message to that, whatever it was. I don't know what it was or who it was or anything. So then that just
disappeared, and I saw Baba's eyes again. I was that far. I mean, we were just face to face like this. Now, I never knew how that ever came about or what it means or anything. I have no idea.
And you never mentioned it to Baba?
No. We never asked Baba at that visit. Neither one of us. I don't think either one of us spoke to him. I didn't have any questions. I didn't feel the need. Well, it just didn't happen, that's all. I didn't even think about it. I don't guess there's ever a time in my life I was any more without, you know, feeling the need to, you know, when you meet somebody that you've never seen before, and a man, and you run up to him and you embrace him, and you cry, and you don't know what in the world's happening to you, except that you feel this overwhelming love that is just all you just invested in.
You're not about to say, how's the weather?
That's right. You just don't react as you would with anyone else. You wouldn't feel embarrassed and say, well, you know, excuse me, or I didn't mean this or that. None of those things ever occurred. You know, it's a totally different thing. And we just felt blissfully happy. I left. I don't remember leaving it. I don't remember walking away from it at all. I don't remember going across the other half of the barn or out the door or anything.
That's all you do? You just met him and then
you left? Yeah. And we didn't leave the center right then, but that was it. And that's all we saw of him.
What, you saw him around the center though?
No.
He was still really coming out of Mananai.
He was still in seclusion. No, we didn't.
Wow.
That's the only place we saw him was at that particular meeting in the barn that day, and that was it.
That must have really inspired a lot of longing to see him again, that one contact.
Well, we never, knew if we ever would or not. You know, no, we didn't know if we ever would or not. We didn't know in 56 whether we'd ever see him again. And we didn't know in 58 whether we would. The last place we saw him was at the airport in up here in
Wilmington.
And that was another interesting experience. He was sitting like he would be in that yellow chair there, and all the people were in sort of a crescent. You know, not circling him, but sort of a crescent, and not really close to him. You know, we were standing sort of back, and Peggy and I were sort of in the back part of the group. I noticed he went to the men's room. He got up and went over to the men's room. He went into the colored.
At the airport.
At the airport in Wilmington, and he went into the colored men's room, and somehow or other that really struck me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't try to figure it. I didn't try to analyze it. I didn't try to make anything out of it. But it struck me. I noticed that he had. I don't know if anybody else did or not, but I did. And
that was in 1958.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That just a few years later that something would begin happening.
Mm-hmm. And in the barn, whenever in 56 or 58, I'm not absolutely sure which, but when the colored men were brought in. Some of them were brought in from had been working out in the fields, and they came into the barn, and they had their boots on. They just come right out of the fields. Baba stood up to greet them. He didn't, as far as he didn't in my case. I know that. I don't know about it. But he stood up and greeted them.
Accounts of that for other people, he didn't stand up when the colored people came.
As far as I know, that was the only time. I don't know whether he did for others or not. I wouldn't say that he did not. But
no, I read that just what you're saying, though. As a rule, he didn't stand up for everyone.
No.
But every time they called people,
we're going to take a nap.
Okay, dear.
And it's 4:30.
Oh, my gracious.
Would you believe it?
No.
So you continue to talk before,
yeah? It's nice to see you again.
You're going to have a little... musical
yes.
tonight?
7:30, is it?
What time? 8 o'clock?
Oh, well, that's fine. That's all right.
We're inviting ourselves.
Oh, no, Peggy, Kitty sent us over here
that's
to
why we're
to
here.
Tell you.
Okay.
Well, we were coming anyhow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were going to come over and invite